Hey, Christ the King family, it's Kyle Hearn serving with youth, young adults, and some outreach here. It's good to be together, even though it's online. We're still blessed to worship together. We're still blessed to hear the word of the Lord and grow together. And I pray that this message is a blessing to you, encourages your week, and leads you into a spirit of thankfulness as we jump into Thanksgiving week. And we're starting this series on whole heart. And I want to talk about how to listen to God with our whole heart. Because when we're honest with ourselves, we can admit that it is hard to hear the voice of God. It's hard for most of us. And it takes a lifetime of learning and listening to hear from God, to discern God's voice versus our own or the world's or the enemy's voice in our minds. And it can be a challenge. We can let that on the table, that it's normal to have hearing God be a challenge for you. That's normal. But that's not the end of the story, because God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to his church. And so as we dive in, let's pray. Father, I pray that you have your way, that you speak to each person listening, to their hearts, to their situations, to their spirits, Lord God, and that everyone can discern your voice over other voices, can make the space and the time to hear you in this loud and fast-paced world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our world is loud. Our world is fast. I think about a TV show that's going crazy right now that kids are falling in love with and getting hooked with. Maybe you know if you have kids, called Cocomelon. And Cocomelon is this kids' TV show. But what happens with Cocomelon is that the scenes are changing so rapidly that it's just drawing our kids' attention in. It's such a fast-paced TV show that it has one of the fastest scene changes of any kids' TV show. On average, a Cocomelon scene switches every 3 seconds. Every 3 seconds. And we wonder why our attention spans are growing shorter and shorter. And so we live in this fast-paced world, and we live in a loud world. If you ever take time just to be still and sit, it's hard to actually hear nothing. We hear the cars, we might hear the airplanes, we might hear the trains, we might hear other people. It's a loud and it's a fast-paced world. So in this world that you and I live in, how do we listen to a still, small voice that comes through the Holy Spirit? How do we listen to God in the world and in the place and in the life that you are in? Because God wants to speak to you where you're at right now. And even if we can find the space and the time to get silent, most of the time in our minds, it's not silent. Even if everything around us is quiet and calm, our inner spirit and our inner mind is often wrestling with so many other thoughts of tasks that have not been completed yet, of thoughts and of worries. And on average, the human being has approximately 60,000 thoughts each day. And 90% of those thoughts are actually repetitive. That blew my mind when I read that. That's according to research by Dr. Fred Luskin of Stanford University. 90% of our thoughts taking up our mind and our attention every day are repetitive. So how do we listen to God when we can get still, but even our minds are not still? This is the problem I want us to solve, to hear God more, but we need to do something on our side. We need to make space, we need to make time, and we need to relearn how to listen. We need to practice the discipline of listening, because we all want to hear God more, don't we? We all want to, but we don't hear him as much as we want to. That's true for most of us. And it's kind of weird if you think about it. If we are God's children, but we don't know how to hear God's voice, it's kind of weird. Like, how would you be married to somebody, or how would you live in the same house as a family member and not know what their voice sounds like? It would be kind of weird to live in the same house as somebody and not be able to distinguish their voice apart from others in a crowd. To be able to know what that they love or they hate. It'd be a little weird. So here's the good news, church, is that as a child of God, it's your birthright to hear his voice. It's your birthright to hear his voice. If you follow Jesus and you are his child, it's your birthright. That's good news. No one can take that away from you. Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, he says that my sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. So Jesus knows you. You follow the one who knows you better than anyone else, and you can recognize his voice. There's the good news. It's possible. It's possible to recognize his voice because Jesus said, you will recognize my voice. But we're so used to noise. We aren't used to still, quiet pause to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. There was a sound chamber created in Minnesota, and it was a silent room that is so silent that if you sit in that room for a few minutes, you're known to be able to hear your lungs and your heartbeat and your stomach, and you can't hear anything outside that room but your own body and senses. But they won't even allow somebody to stay there longer than 45 minutes because they might go crazy because their body and their mind is not used to hearing nothing. So our bodies were made to hear something, but maybe we're just listening to the wrong things, the wrong voices, and giving the wrong thoughts too much authority in our lives and in our minds every day. We just have to learn how to listen to the right one instead. And it's possible. And if people say that they have a hard time hearing God, it may be because they have a hard time getting quiet themselves. It may be they have a hard time getting quiet themselves. And so we often pray. A lot of us pray every day. That's the number one spiritual discipline that Christians say they do regularly, more than any other Christian discipline, is prayer. And so we pray often, but when we pray to talk to God. But do we pray to hear God talk? What's more important to you, getting something off your chest or hearing the voice of the living, eternal God, your Savior? That's something that really challenged me lately. When I evaluated my prayer life, I thought, how much time of my prayer life am I actually giving to listening? When I'm honest, not as much as I would hope. And I'm missing out on a part of my relationship with my Heavenly Father because I'm not actually wanting to listen to Him. I'm just wanting to talk to Him. And so when I was honest with myself, I'm thinking, wow, I'm missing out from hearing the voice of God just because I'm not making intentional space and time to listen. But I'm making all the time to talk to God. I'm making all the time to ask God for help. I'm making all the time to intercede for others. But am I making the time to just listen to the one who intercedes for us? And when we pray, do we pray for connection or are we praying from a place of connection? You already have it with God. It is your birthright to be connected to Him. So let's ask the question, how do we really practically hear the voice of God? Why don't we hear the voice of God like people in the Bible did? We often ask ourselves this question often. If only I saw what God did in the Bible, maybe I'd have more faith. If only I could hear God like Abraham or like the prophets. Or maybe if I was one of the disciples and I could see and hear Jesus clearly, it'd be easier to have faith. Well, when I was diving into this, I realized that I thought Abraham had it all together. I thought Abraham had the most faith. I thought Abraham sinned the least. I thought Abraham knew how to distinguish and hear the voice of God better than some of anyone else. But when I started diving deeper into Genesis and Abraham's story, I started to find that there was years, there was even decades between the time where Abraham would have a clear encounter with God where he heard something so clearly that it made it into Scripture. There was years between his encounters with God, and we can beat ourselves up that we haven't heard him in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year. God moves in mysterious ways. We know that. But may we not beat ourselves up when we realize that there was times like in Samuel the prophet when words from God and visions from God were rare. God was wanting to be sought after and found, and it was rare to have a word or a vision from God. He will move how he wants to move. We just have to follow him. Remember, Jesus said, "My sheep recognize my voice." We can recognize his voice. But first, how is your view towards God? Because how you view him will actually distinguish what you hear from him. Because if you view God as a loving God or as a demanding God, that's going to color what you hear. If you view God as an intimate friend or as a distant friend, that's going to color what you hear. Do you view God as a patient or a frustrated teacher? Do you view God as a generous provider or as a reluctant withholder? It will color what you hear. And you might have heard the phrase before. I heard it a lot growing up. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Use them to that proportion. Well, Jesus often said after his parables to his disciples, "He who has ears, let him listen and understand." Jesus wants us to be listeners so that we could be people who understand his words, his teaching, and his heart and character. So we need to make the space to actually listen. Where is that space for you? Even if it's in a car line, even if it's just on the way to school or work, there's a possibility to make the space, even if it's just for a brief moment before you start your day or before you go to bed at night. We can make the space. If it's on your lunch break, we can make the space to discern his voice. And then when we hear his voice, how do we actually discern it between others? Because this is what sets us apart. We can discern by God's guidance and his word if it's from him or if it's not. If this is just a thought in our own mind, if this is a thought of the enemy, or if this is truly from the living God. And so some ways that will help us discern if it's from God himself is that it will always line up with his word. Always line up with his word. Billy Graham was known to say, if you want to hear the voice of God, open your Bible and you'll hear him clearly. It will always connect with his people. It might connect you further to his people. It might be delivered by his people, but it will connect you to his people, his church. It will align with his son, Jesus. If you want to hear the voice of God, look at Jesus, the indwelling of God himself in the flesh. Look at his character. Look at how he responded to hurting people. Look at Jesus. And then he also speaks through his spirit. Through his spirit. This can come in a variety of ways, and we all learn in our own ways how to be led by the Holy Spirit and how to listen to the Holy Spirit. So how do you know if it's from his spirit? Well, the word will always cause you to be loved, to love God, and to love others greater. How do we know? And we just need to make the time to be still, to listen, and to discern. And discerning can be quite challenging. There's a story I want to share of a missionary that was a missionary in Thailand. And when she was coming back from Thailand, her day of flying and traveling, she's walking through the airport, and all of a sudden this one gentleman comes up to her and says, "Excuse me, ma'am." And he introduces himself and says, "I heard God tell me that you're supposed to be my wife." And right away, she's kind of thrown off, and she said, "Well, God didn't tell me you're supposed to be my husband. Sorry." And then they move on. She keeps walking through the airport. A second guy comes up to her and says, "Excuse me, ma'am." Introduces himself and says, "God told me you're supposed to be my wife." And she says, "Well, God didn't tell me you're supposed to be my husband. Sorry." Move along. This happened 8 times throughout one day of travel. And it was felt like by her that it was because the devil wanted to throw her off her mission, wanted her to focus on other things. And she was discerning, this isn't from God for me, because God would have let me know. She had to discern in that moment, is this of God or not of God? But it is possible. Also, it's going to align with Scripture. It's going to align with God's character. Do you know God's character, His heart? It's going to clash with our culture. It's going to clash with our lust. It's going to call you to a different holy life. Another story I want to share is of a student of ours that was a part of our church, and he went on our youth mission trip with us 1 year. And this story means a lot to me because it was a story that we shared at his funeral not too long ago. But it's a story of hope, of how to discern the voice of God. It's a story, when we were on this mission trip, we had a chapel service, and the leader told us, I want you guys to stay seated after service ends and just ask God one simple question. God, what's my next step with you? And stay seated until you hear his voice. Maybe it's through a thought. Maybe it's through a person sharing a word with you. Maybe a scripture comes to mind. But make sure it's in line with God's character, God's heart, calling you to a holy life, clashing with your lust, your culture, aligning with his word. So the student takes the time to do that. And immediately he turns to me and the other pastor and says, hey, guys, what's it mean to be born again? And we're blown away. He goes, I never heard that phrase before. I don't even know what that means. What does it mean to be born again? Did that align with God's word? Did that align with God's character? Did it clash with culture, his lust? Did it call him to a holy life? Yes. That was the voice of God that he was hearing. And so we shared with him what it meant to be born again, to surrender his life to Christ, to live differently, to get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he did just that. And God, through a miracle, made him born again. He just had to make the space and the time and be still and silent to listen to God speak. How much do you think God wants to speak to us? We just don't make the space and the time to actually listen. Where if we just sat down like that and said, God, what's my next step with you? And intentionally sat there with the expectation to hear him. Wow, what could happen? What could happen in your life? Jesus says in John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. I heard this message at church recently, and it really stuck out to me, something I never noticed. It's saying the Holy Spirit will be telling you what he has heard. The Holy Spirit is a listener first, even though he's the one who speaks to us and moves in us. He's a listener first. That blew my mind. Are we listeners first? Are we following in line with who God is by being a listener first? He listens and then he speaks. Isn't that amazing? So how do you actually do this? Well, we follow Jesus' example. He often had to leave everyone else to go listen to his heavenly Father, to go pray to his heavenly Father, to go rest. And it says this in Luke 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. We're often afraid of lonely places. We avoid being in lonely places. We fill our schedules and our calendars so we are not lonely. We fill our text messages and our social media scrolls so we are not lonely. But Jesus said, you know, I'm going to embrace this lonely place as a young man to just pray, to just connect with my heavenly Father, to listen, to talk with him, to have a conversation. Where's that place where you can go? And what are the things that you've placed as a wall so that you don't feel lonely? Maybe that's social media scrolling. Maybe that's filling the void with people just so that you don't have to be afraid and alone. But take advantage of those lonely places to connect with God. Don't be afraid of them. Embrace them, because that's where you can connect with him in amazing ways. And we can all make these places, even if we have a loud, busy life or a big family, we can make those spaces together. We can go to God together as spouses, as families, to the lonely places together to encounter him. But we just have to do these things. We have to first make time. As simple as that. Make time. Second, we have to get still. Get still. At the Hebrew root of the verse, be still and know that I'm God, it's really saying let go. Let go is the start to being still. Let go of those 60,000 thoughts running through your mind. Let go. Third is expect him to speak. By doing this, we can practically ask him more specific questions. Instead of saying, God, use me today. God, use me as a blessing today. We can pray more specifically, God, give me the name of someone that's hurting and needs a blessing, needs some love or encouragement. Give me their name right now because I want to be your hands and feet. God, show me something that someone's going through or put a cause on my heart that breaks your heart that you want to call me to make a difference in. Tell me that now. Ask him more specifically and hear him speak. Fourth is we have to accept his words, even if they make us a little uncomfortable, even if they're a little convicting, challenging. Accept his words, just like our student did when he said born again. He had to accept them. And fifth is do what he says. If we hear someone tell us, hey, can you take out the trash? But we don't actually do it. Did we really hear what they said? Probably not. We just have to do what he says. It's not complicated. Remember, it's your birthright. God desires to speak to you. It's your birthright. God wants to spend time with you because it's your birthright. God wants you to hear him. It's your birthright. God wants you to share what you've heard with others. It's your birthright and your calling and your ministry. God doesn't want to make himself hard to be heard or found. He says, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. You will find me. And remember, my sheep recognize my voice. It's possible. It's your birthright. So when we do this, we're going to know how God really is, how close he is to us. We're going to start renewing our mind and realize how many thoughts we have each day that aren't actually of God. We're going to have more encouraging words over ourselves and our neighbors. And we would really know how God feels about us. We would really know how to work through some hard things in our life when God gives us those words that are challenging but good. So my hope is that through this week and through this time of Thanksgiving, that we realize how thankful we are to be able to hear the voice of God. Even when life's fast, loud, and challenging, it is possible because it is your birthright. Let us close in prayer. Father, first of all, I just praise you and thank you that you are hearable, that it's not going to be a challenge or anything else for us to hear you, but it can be simple because your Holy Spirit is with us now, that your Holy Spirit speaks to us in those lonely places. And I pray that those places we're afraid to go to alone, God, and open up to just be with you and be vulnerable. I pray that you remove any fear, any worry, any anxiety that's hindering us from going to those lonely places to pray right now. And I pray that you speak to everyone with where they're at. Words of life, words of challenge, words of hope, just words of God. And I pray that everyone grows in their confidence that they can hear you as children of God because it is their birthright. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So go with God this week, church, listening to the voice of him, and making the space and the time to intentionally listen, and you're going to hear him speak. We know that 100%. Have an awesome week. God bless.